Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who's never once been considered part of the wise guys. I am Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob's Podcast here live on a Sunday night to talk about everything that's going on what will be the final Big Brother Sunday of Big Brother 22. Big Brother moves to Monday starting next week. But we'll be here with one last Sunday chat to talk about everything that went on in tonight's episode. And now a man who, unlike Dr. Will, actually spends a lot of time thinking about Big Brother and following everything that's going on. Here is Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I rollick through life, Rob. That's what Dr. Will says I do. Also, not full of doo-doo.
No.
Good quality to have.
No, never. Okay. All right. Dr. Will said you rollick through life, or he says that he rollicks through life?
People that are able to enjoy Big Brother rollick through life, he said.
Not frolic?
No, rollick.
Is that a new word? Is that a Dr. Willism?
I think it's a real word. It just means act or behave in a jovial or exuberant fashion.
What's the difference between rollick and frolic?
I think frolic would be frolic... would be to play and move about cheerfully, excitedly, or energetically.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, anyway, we'll discuss that and much more here tonight. Of course, we're very excited to have back with us to frolic about what we can in Big Brother 22. It's Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
I'm great. I was kind of surprising to me the amount of ease that I was able to have watching this particular episode. You know, I mean, I lost Davon last week and it's been very, very hard. But I was kind of like, you know, she's good. She's in jury. She's sipping on a margarita with Ian. And now I can just watch all these people.
Socially distanced margarita.
Yeah, socially. Yes, exactly. Let's not forget that. So, like, I had a good time tonight. I didn't think that I was going to be able to, but I'm good. I'm frolicking.
Okay. Yes, Amon, you are coming in hot after your recent appearance on the Secret Alliance podcast with Danielle Reyes and yes. Jason Guy.
Yes, I still can't believe that happened. It was a lot of fun. I'm in a Secret Alliance with Jason and Daniel Reyes. I mean, so I guess I win any future seasons of Big Brother already by default.
Okay. All right. Well, Amon, good to have you back. And then we're excited to have back with us, and she's wearing a Cowboys jersey. If you're listening to the podcast version and not watching us on video, Asia is back. Asia, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, even though the Cowboys lost today, they're LeBron. They can come back. You know, we have a losing record right now, but things are looking up, you know, just like David. So same energy.
Yeah. Okay. They're almost at 1-3.
Yeah.
To come back.
Right.
Yeah.
Almost. Once we hit 1-3, then we can be LeBron and we'll come back.
Okay. If everybody's good tonight, maybe Asia will show you her puppy at the end of the show.
Yes.
If everybody is good. Okay. All right. We've put a question up on Twitter. If you want to send your questions into the show or tweet up on Twitter, so you can go ahead and post your questions to get into the show. The Slop is going to be back live tomorrow afternoon. Chappelle will join me on The Slop on Monday. And then Scott Yeager from the Challenge Mania podcast will also join us on Monday afternoon to talk about what's going on in the world of Big Brother. So be on the lookout for that kicking off, I believe, at, I think we're going to kick off at about 5:30 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. So we'll get that set up for you. But I guess let's talk about a night of an HOH competition. First off, Taryn, let me just say, what the hell was the point of this neighbor Dr. Will quote-unquote twist?
To film a couple of segments with Dr. Will in a row.
When will they be? Where are these segments?
I imagine
what
we'll
segments?
Get another one on Wednesday. He may or may not voice Otev, you know?
Like, he could have done this from his house. He could have been on Zoom, Amon.
This was so stupid. Why wasn't he there to host the competition from the balcony? Like, I want to see Dr. Will in a bathrobe, lazily trying to, you know, give the instructions to the people before the HOH. Like, I don't understand. Like, it seemed so, like, overblown, this whole neighbor thing. And then all of a sudden, he's gone. okay. All right. Well, I guess the neighbor's not home anymore.
Yeah.
How fun would it have been if he was up there, you know, like you said, giving the directions, and then like when they go to putt, he's like, ah, you know, trying to throw them off, and then making fun of all their bad shots. There were so many out of bounds that it was such a missed opportunity.
Sharon, mm-hmm. when we were pretending to have the conversation between CBS and Dr. Will, we left out the part where he was saying, okay, yeah, I'll give you 10 minutes. That's it. Okay. And then I got places to be. I'm out of here.
Yeah. You think
Dr. Will is... we only need 5. Okay.
That's one of the reasons why I thought it might not be Dr. Will, is because like Dr. Will is not going to be there for more than 10 minutes. Like Dr. Will is not the kind of person who is like waiting by the phone for CBS to call him so that he can spend a couple days on the CBS lot to hang around in the Big Brother house. He makes fun of those people. He will show up for a big check and then get out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is why, Amon, this was not even a twist. What? There's nothing here.
Yeah, I mean, welcome to Big Brother, I guess. I mean, we kind of all played ourselves into believing, because first of all, we weren't even sure if it was going to be a person. And then mm-hmm. Zingbot makes his appearance early. So we're like, oh, okay, well then it's got to be a person. Like, who could it be? What legend is going to shake up the game? And then it's Dr. Will in a bathrobe and yeah. then he's gone.
Yeah, Asia, this was, we got our hopes down, like it's not going to be anything. And they're like, oh, this is awesome. And then this was yeah. nothing.
Yeah, they literally made it a point to replay what he said. Like, I will be here for the HOH comp and the veto comp. It's like, why replay that if you knew 100% he was not even going to be involved in the HOH comp at all? It's like, he's not even going to be involved in the triple. So it's like, okay, maybe they meant next week, but no, he's done.
No, you don't understand that he was involved because they played the clip of him again right before the HOH competition. That was his involvement. He was reminding us of the fact that there's going to be prizes.
Yeah.
Right.
I just feel like they should have, like, if they really wanted to shake up the game and like make these players kind of freak out, how amazing would it have been if they see him on the balcony and they go back into the house and then all of a sudden Dr. Will's picture is on the memory wall, so they think that he's actually coming back into the game, but really he's just being a prankster and all he's going to do is host. Like, I just feel like there's so much more stuff that they could have been doing, and if he really was that busy, then don't call Dr. Will. He can stay at home until it's time for him to come and do the jury deliberation. Bring back somebody else that we all love or love to hate. Like, I wouldn't even have minded if Frankie Grande was up on that balcony, like, you know, in some stilettos sipping a mimosa. That would have been perfect. Like, but no, yeah. We get Dr. Will.
This is like less than when they bring a former house guest in to host a competition. Like, at least they, like, sometimes yeah. they come in and they like are like, oh, hey, how are you? Like, Bobby Moynihan walked around the house and hung out for longer.
Right.
And this is like a 10-second clip of Dr. Will.
Hey, what if production called Dr. Will and was like, hey, okay, we got your segment, you know, for Thursday, but hey, we need you to come back for the HOH comp. We're about to get started. We need you to come, you know, give some commentary. And he's like, oh, no, I'm done with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think he quit after, right? Yeah, he didn't want to come back.
I think what he said was, I'll do it, but I'm going to need you to pay me more. And I'm going to have to spend less time than Neil Patrick Harris. That's my stipulation, that I need to be treated better than Neil Patrick Harris.
Okay. All right. Well, Dr. Will, we got to see the reaction to that again. And then a little bit of conversation about the vote. There were two votes that were to send that went against Davon to good that were from Danny and Nicole. And Asia, I love this, that we saw the all-time top two liars in the house, Danny and Nicole, go back and forth like the Spider-Man gif.
Yes.
Like, wait, I'm not the liar. You're the liar. No, you are. I'm not a liar.
Exactly. And the way they've been painting the picture of Nicole and Danny is like, okay, they're each other's like top allies, because they haven't even like gone too deep into the fact that Nicole and Cody are like pretty tightly aligned. And so I can imagine being a casual. They're like, so confused. I mean, we're confused. Like, what's the point of lying? What where does that get you? Because, you know, all it does is like for in this, we see in this episode, all it did was cause some mistrust with Nicole and, you know, whatever stuff was left over last week with the Devon or with the Ian vote. And all it did was cause more mistrust between her and Danny.
Yeah. And it wasn't even like, no, I'm not lying. I mean, Nicole went right to...
I did not. I swear to God.
Swear to God. Wow.
This is so stupid. They both are libeticals, okay? They suffer from libides. This is ridiculous. Why are you lying to one another about a vote? You know, me and Taryn were talking about Devon and how she likes to guilt people to do things in this game. And I feel like that she kind of, maybe that last speech sort of did like really push them to at least give her a pity vote. But they didn't even plan it together. They just said, well, I'm going to go ahead and vote for her. Hopefully nobody else thinks that it was me.
Yeah.
And now y'all both look dumb.
Taryn, I do love to talk about the psychology of Nicole F. And I'm wondering that she talked about how that, she, you know, that she really, you know, wanted to tell Devon about everything because it really bothered her and Danny wouldn't let her. Is she trying to make the pivot of throw Danny under the bus for everything that went on in terms of the lying to Ian, lying to Devon? It was all Danny's fault, America?
I'm sure that's part of it. I think that part of this as well is that they are having to edit around the fact that Devon found out about Nicole's vote prior to Devon leaving. And when Devon found out about it, Danny threw Nicole under the bus and said it was only Nicole. I didn't know about this. I was still going to break the tie to evict Tyler. It was all Nicole. And Nicole just had to sit there and take it because she didn't feel like fighting back. And so that's a big reason why Nicole feels very slighted by Danny. And like Danny didn't even like thank her for it. She was like, no, I did what I had to do. This is better for us. And Nicole was like, I mean, I'm fine taking the heat, but... she's clearly not fine taking the heat. So I think that was a big part of this whole like Nicole, Danny. There's been tension there for a while anyway because of Cody and what he's told Nicole about Danny. But that moment, I think, was a big one that we just hadn't seen.
Yeah. Asia, overall, I really was surprised tonight just how much we dove into Nicole is ready just to throw Danny overboard.
Right. Especially the fact that we didn't have that context. It seemed like it just makes Nicole seem kind of dense. If that's her only reason for like being mad at Danny. Like if we are going to focus on this as a storyline, give us that context so that it makes sense. You know, if people don't have Taryn to listen to every day, they're so confused about why Nicole is so after Danny all of a sudden. So all it does is add confusion to the show. So they should have went a different direction, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I do listen to Taryn every day and I'm still confused. Amon, because from what I understand about this house, that Danny's number one, you know, undying is Nicole, correct?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say undying, no. I wouldn't say, I would say that she would go either way between Cody and Nicole.
Okay, but she at least wants to go to the final three with Nicole.
Yes.
Yeah. And Nicole has no other backup plans except for go to the final two with Cody.
Yeah, I mean, well, she had Ian, but...
Right. So this seems insane that she would want to get rid of Danny.
It is a little strange. I mean, we were kind of skeptical about this triple eviction and whether or not it was going to give us some snooze fest results. And the possibility is obviously still there. But all of these people, it's not even just Danny and Nicole. We're going to see like pretty much all the committee is starting to be like, oh, you know what, giving each other the side eye. So I'm really interested to see how this is going to pan out come Thursday. But I agree. I think that, you know, going after Danny would be Nicole's game is already going downhill as it is, but this would just expedite that process.
So if I'm trying to get into Nicole's head, I think that a big part of this is that one, she feels like she just can't trust Danny. Like she can't say anything to Danny. The fact that Danny is known to be close to her gives Danny free license to go and spread lies about her, which is what Danny does all the time. And so the longer Danny is in the house, the more she's going to sabotage her Nicole's relationships with other people like Cody and Christmas, who I think is the second part of this. Christmas is the person I think that Nicole is really wanting to fall back on if possible. And I would imagine want to get Christmas down toward the end. Nicole is not really the kind of person to cut Cody and take Christmas, but she's also the kind of person who knows the benefit of bringing Cody toward the end, like a Corey, and then, oh, whoops, I ended up in the final two with somebody I can be. So I think that is her plan if we're trying to find the rationality of it. It's definitely, I think, another part of it is that she could end up on the block next to Danny, and that would not be ideal for her. And if Danny wins the veto, then Nicole would probably go home because of her association with Danny. So there's a lot of reason for her to not want Danny around, but Rob, you have a very valid point, which is that she's already lost so many other soldiers. She's really putting herself in a box here.
Yeah, I don't know what she's trying to do. We saw a lot about Danny's decision to use her power. They really made a meal out of this. Asia, I do love that we get a lot this season of Danny giving us like her full like little finger in the diary room of like, this is my diabolical plan that I'm about to do. And just nobody else thinks it's good in the house, but maybe like some of the audience does.
Right. It's that thing where we'd love to see people own their game. Mm-hmm. And Danny does just that. Even though, you know, she might be after people we love, or she may be lying to someone we really like, or we are not a fan of how she played a certain thing. At least she's owning it. So that's something I can respect about like her game so far, is that I know when I'm watching her diary room, she's telling, you know, she's giving us how she really feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taryn, was this an accurate retelling of how this went down?
Pretty accurate. Yeah. I mean, Danny talked to Nicole, pissed Nicole off about her reluctance to use it. She talked to Cody, pissed Cody off with her reluctance to use it. Talked to Memphis to try and get something out of him for using it. But he ended up just getting pissed off because she admitted to him that she told Davon about her power, and that's why she was worried about using it. So he came away from that conversation like, okay, so you told Davon weeks ago, and this is now your first time telling me. Okay. Pissed him off. Then she used the power, and they didn't show this in the episode, but Davon had in fact told Kevin about the power. So Kevin did. Her worst fear came true. He did realize, oh, Danny must have been working with Memphis this whole time. She's been screwing me. So on every single angle of this decision, she has made the wrong impression and come out the worst end of this.
Yeah, and Amon, Memphis is really the like hardest person to impress that there is anyway. He's not even like excited about the prospect of being back-to-back HOH.
He just wants to blend into the wallpaper, as he said.
I believe he said he wants to blend into the carpet, which I do not believe is the carpet phrase. That is not an expression.
What is he, like wine? Like, I don't get it. Like, that's so weird.
Tara, where did you go? I can't see you. Are you blending into the carpet?
I blended right into the carpet. Yeah. You couldn't even see me. Hello. Did you see that in the episode? That was super weird.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
They cut to Memphis when they were talking about Memphis. You know, they cut to the, like shots of the people.
Yeah.
And it's just Memphis like, hello.
A new character? Is that why they called him Governor a couple of weeks ago?
Maybe.
Governor Memphis? I wouldn't think Memphis does characters. And Amon, what a buildup we had for the replay power being used. Boy, the whole house went into really cardiac arrest of, the replay power has been enabled. Uh-oh, what's going to happen? Is this a reset week? Is Davon coming back in the house? No, Memphis will get to play HOH.
just to see them squirm a little bit, it was worth it. I mean, this power is... We've talked about how this power is the worst out of the three. So
yeah, but did you hear Ty? Thing, like after they play, like Ty was like, "Oh, that's a good power.
That's a great power.
Yeah,
great power, man." I'm like, if you only knew, Tyler. If you only knew. Right.
And it's so hilarious how Enzo, he always gives the diary room exactly what they want. They're just like, or tell us what you do with the money, or tell us what you thought the power was going to be. He's like, when I saw the replay power, I thought we were going to have to replay the week. We're going to have to redo something. I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. It's just like Enzo, he's Diary Room gold, I bet, for the producers, because he gives them exactly what they want.
AJ, you feel like that, you know, nothing exciting really ever happens on this show, but Enzo can like help us fantasize like some interesting outcomes that could have happened.
Right. Exactly.
Like he'll help like
the possibilities.
Trust me.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. Ironically, that's never actually it. It's always the opposite of it. Okay. All right. All the basement powers have been expired, and we get to the HOH comp. And boy, Tara, we spent a long time on this mini golf.
Yeah. Well, you know, it hasn't been a lot else this week.
Yeah. A long time on making all this happen, and who was going to go for money and who was going to go for the HOH. Amon, I was actually surprised more people didn't go for the 10K.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're on the committee, I mean, well, Danny was like, you know, I don't really feel like winning this. But yeah, it was kind of surprising. I kind of wish, like, once again, if Dr. Will were there, he would totally be like, that would really shake up the game. If he's totally like trying to tell certain people, I don't know, do you feel safe enough to do that? Or no, you should take that 10K, buddy, take that 10K. Like that would have added such a more interesting dynamic to this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that would have taken more than 5 minutes. Maybe they could have had a soundboard with him and just like push the buttons and then have his voice over the loudspeker. Asia, Nicole goes for only for HOH.
Yeah, that was interesting too, because, you know, if she wants Danny out, I just can't see her pulling the trigger and making that move. So I'm like, who are you going to go after? Kevin and David, just like everyone else? Like, why do you want the power so bad? I mean, obviously to protect herself in the scenario that she thinks Danny's going to put her up, but or that Kevin is going to win. But, you know, at least shoot one ball over in that direction, especially with how terrible her first shot was. It was like, okay, girl, you don't have this.
Yeah, it seems like that people just had like a terrible technique on this of just, let me just try to whack it as hard as I can, ricochet off something.
It's like, okay, they hit it really hard the first time. Okay, they're getting the feel of it. Next time, they're going to have they hit it even harder. What?
It's like, yeah, this is not, they understand that this is like not real, like long distance golf. Like there aren't like sloping hills ahead of you.
Take it easy, Tiger Woods. Right.
Exactly.
The driver away. Like, all right, you wanted like a little kiss, like around the bend.
Like Nicole said, she's like, I mini golf all the time. It's like, well, I guess that's one like popular thing she has going for in Ubley, but that didn't it didn't come that didn't show through.
A little tap tap taparoo. I mean, Cody got it right. Tyler had it on his first one somehow, and he kind of like forgot how to do it by the time he got to the other side. Karen, I thought this was interesting. You had an interesting observation about Memphis and his approach to this.
Yeah, this was weird to me that Memphis he actively threw the HOH competition. He threw away a better score to get a worse score because he didn't want to win. And this is the competition where anonymously you can easily throw this competition by going for some money, and then you also make some money. But his logic here was that he didn't want to even go for the money because he didn't want to have to lie about it, which is super weird to me because, I mean, he lies about plenty of things in this game. Mm-hmm. But like I can almost on some level like appreciate it. Like if he cares about the win more than anything, like adding that extra stress of having to lie in this situation and like, will you get caught? I think you can kind of see the logic of it, but at the same time, it's like, dude, it's just 10K in front of you. Like,
yeah. Amon, do you think is Memphis like doing so well that 10K doesn't move the needle for him? Is like, it'd be more annoying just to lie about this.
I think he really feels that way. I think he knows what his position is like in the house. He is sitting very pretty. I mean, people barely say Memphis's name. In regards to like being one of the people up out of here. So, I mean, he knows that. So, I mean, I can kind of understand it as well. Like, why add something that you have to lie about that you have complete control over? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, lying about the committee, you're locked into that. There's no way around it. But, you know, why, if you don't want to add another lie to have to maneuver, then don't add it.
It's almost like Memphis is like a person that would stumble upon a like $100 bill on the ground and just be like, you know, I'm just going to be thinking about like who lost this. It's just, I'm just going
to think
you're
going to say, but I have to bend over.
Yeah. Not worth it. Like, it's all dirty and wet. Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He couldn't be bothered with, I mean, it's like, why not? But I also think just with his approach and everyone else's approach, it just seemed like they were thinking like maybe they would show their scores. Because even Danny was like, well, let me at least go for the HOH one so I can be able to tell them whatever. But it's like, obviously they weren't going to be able to show the scores because then they would have to say that people didn't score something for HOH or whatever. So that was, it was interesting that people were just trying to like save face by just throwing away a shot.
Yeah, we had a lot of drama with Kevin and his turn, Asia, that Kevin had a five and he said, okay, yeah. I think I need to do better. And he did have the right instinct because Cody's going to end up winning with a two. But this was heartbreaking for Kevin because we didn't know what the final scores were going to be. I just was hoping that Cody didn't have like a six.
Yeah, I for a split second, I forgot that Cody had said on the feeds that he got a two. And I was like, if five would have been the winning number, I'm going to be so pissed at Kevin. But then I was like, okay, two, not that bad. But
which is crazy because in the very first veto of the season, he had his stack at I think 19. And all he needed to do is buzz in, but he went for one more and 19 would have been the winning number. And like, honestly, I think his whole game probably looks at least a little bit different if he gets off the block that week. And he's not the first, you know, the first nominee that survives, right? Like that's a bad place to be. So it was really, really full circle there.
Amon, how much does oversized golf come up on Big Brother? Is that something that people should practice before they go play Big Brother?
I think so. I mean, we've seen some variation of hit the ball somewhere on Big Brother. So definitely hit up go with Nicole back in Ubley. I mean, I'm sure she'll give you a few pointers.
Yeah, but you have to find the right kind of club because this one is
heavy.
Rob, I've been doing research on competitions lately.
Yes.
It actually comes up fairly often, these
like
putting competitions.
Season. Yeah.
Like once every other season, I think is probably apt, but like putting is a skill that you should learn how to do, especially with oversized golf putt things.
You drive for show, putt for dough. So you got to be it's a very important skill to have as a golfer. Just going to step away from breaking down the HOH competition for just a moment to thank one of our sponsors. Those are our friends over at ZipRecruiter. Now, look, when you're a small business owner like myself, hiring can be hard. I mean, just look at how hard it is for people in the Big Brother house to find people who are reliable alliance members, especially with everything going on these days. ZipRecruiter comes in and they make everything easy for you. Monica Starks, she could relate. She needed to hire for a pivotal role at her construction company, GS Group, but she was having a tough time finding the right person. With so many candidates out there, she switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's how Monica found Lamont Jenkins. She said that ZipRecruiter sent Lamont's profile to her around 5 minutes after she posted her job because he was a great match for the role. Through ZipRecruiter, Monica's company has hired everyone from accountants to project managers to field scientists, but Monica's not the only employer who loves ZipRecruiter. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself how ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. Try it now for free. That's right, for free at ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter.com/survive. Let's get back to talking about how David did in the HOH. David comes out. David really wants this. This would have been great if we could have seen a David win here, Amon.
I know. It's because he knows exactly where he's at in the game. He knows that there's an alliance that is picking everybody else off, so he knows he has to win. And I felt bad for Kevin too, for like when he said when he lost, he's like, "If I deserve to go home after that," and I'm like, "No, you don't deserve to go home for losing that comp. You deserve to go home for a bunch of other reasons." Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just very disheartening to see the two of them just fail at this because they're under so much pressure. You know, it's just like sometimes it kind of gets to you, and you just can never like find the rhythm and or that sweet spot in this comp, and yeah, it just sucks.
Asia, I wish we could have seen Kevin win. I wish we could have seen David win more things this season, because I think that he has like a lot of like celebrations planned for. I think he's got like, I feel like he's ready to explode. We saw him in the basement where he's throwing the confetti. He's ready to go off. If he could just win something, I think we'd get like one of those like choreographed like touchdown dances if he could win. Yes. Like, he's planned this all out.
Yeah, it's going to be like Cliff from last season when all of a sudden, like, that thing came out of nowhere. It was like, oh, David definitely has something prepared. Mm-hmm. He's just waiting until the right moment. But it's like, are we ever going to see that moment? Maybe. I don't know. So. But
it's
I thought that would
so
be amazing.
Funny. It's going to be funny if it does happen, because he doesn't really watch the show. We know this. So, like, mm-hmm. he's not going to know to go into the pantry and dance in there. He's just going to dance. I mean, he said it at the end of the episode. He was like, "I'm going to win this veto. I'm going to shine it in everybody's face." And I'm like, good for you, bro. I want to see it, too, because, like, I need that. I need that kind of, like, joyous energy injected mm-hmm. into this season.
Yeah. Taryn, I also noticed tonight that David is a senior sales manager. Do we know what David sells?
Oh, man. I've heard him talk about it a bunch of times, but I can't remember.
I think that would be interesting to know.
It's not like his dream job.
Yeah, he doesn't strike me as somebody in sales.
I thought he was a photographer. I guess I missed that.
Yeah, that's what he was last
he
year.
Been, yeah.
He got a new job. I don't know what he's out there selling. He's
exactly.
Hustling.
Like when you think of sales, you think of somebody that's really good with their words. And yeah. We've seen the opposite.
Okay. If somebody knows, let me know on Twitter. I'd love to hear more about David's day job. Okay. All right. This was a highlight for me, Taryn, of the Christmas wanted to win so bad and didn't.
Yeah, she also, though, is nailing this thing, like, over and over. This is a perfect representation of her game. She just lacks subtlety. But, like, man, it's just, like, she's just hitting it straight into the key, bouncing it back. But, yeah, she wanted this. She's ready. Like, these players are hungry for blood, and they want it. Maybe not as bad as we do on the outside, but they're getting hungry. This is part of what made this competition kind of amusing in hindsight, is that we saw Dani throw this competition intentionally. She wanted nothing to do with this HOH, and there were a bunch of different outcomes here where if somebody other than Cody hadn't won this, that Dani is the one going home this week, having thrown the competition and joins the, you know, the great halls of, you know, Matt Hoffman and Jordan. You can't.
Yeah, Jordan Parhar. Yeah. Okay. So Enzo, he's going for the money. Asia, he's so bad at this. He was like the worst.
He was. I was like, oh my gosh, Enzo, give it. Just do the first one and be done. Yeah. Yeah. So too hard.
He was too strong. I did love this. That, you know, Enzo talks about how he did not win the money, and that's $10,000. That's could have been a lot of money.
That was $10,000. Man, I could have just bought anything with that. I mean, clothes, a motorcycle,
a motorcycle. I just want to do a price check on motorcycle. You get a motorcycle for $10,000.
Like a moped.
Moped. Okay.
Yeah. Used old.
Like a scooter.
You can get some pretty big TVs, though.
80-inch screen TV. I don't know. Whatever, man. I could have bought so many things, man. Although I do got a 75-inch TV, so I'm okay.
Come on. How about that humble brag from Enzo? I could have bought an 80-inch TV, but I've already got a 75-inch TV.
I mean, good for you. And so I'm so happy that you've got a 75-inch TV, but couldn't, I mean, where are you going to put the other one if you already have the 75-inch?
Well, also, like, where is this seven? Like, doesn't he live with his mom? Like,
yeah, like, is it in the basement or is it like right. is it with his mom?
Like takes up the whole, it has to take up the whole wall.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I'm really interested in the logistics of these television sets.
Is it really your TV, Enzo? Like, what are we talking about here?
Asia, why is Enzo hoarding all the huge TVs?
Right. He has to.
We're right, in a pandemic. Exactly. You just never know. You never know when you're going to need an 80-inch TV.
So you always need those extra 5 inches. This is never enough. You need more. You're always going to need more.
Right. He doesn't strike me as somebody who's just sitting around watching a bunch of TV anyway.
Yeah. We know he said he would only do a 5-minute podcast. I guess that's like Dr. Will style. But Taryn, what does Enzo watch? Has he talked about any shows or anything that are his interests?
Just not really. I mean, I can't think. Whenever Enzo talks, he's always just mirroring other people. He used to tell stories at the start of the season, but it's been a while.
Okay, all right.
I feel like Enzo watches Big Brother and like Yankee Judge games. Judy, and that's it.
Right? Yeah. It has to be sports.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we get to Cody. Cody gets a 6, and he says, "I got to go back. I got to try it again." And Asia, we go to commercial on this. I did not like how they decided to show us this.
Me neither. I was like, okay, wait, did he miss it and has to go for a third one? Or did he get it the second one? And I just was like, I walked away, come back. And then we're at the scores. I was like, no, show me. You need to show me what Cody did. And they did do a flashback. But I think they were just trying to find a way to make some type of like, some type of drama on the show this week, and that was all they can get.
Okay,
I feel like the right way to go about this would have been, okay, Cody is the last person. If Cody doesn't take this one, then I don't know who was it? David is seven, mm-hmm. right? Like, if Cody doesn't take this, then it's David. And like, cut to David waiting in the storage room or the HOH room, wherever, like hoping he wins. And then like, and it's a 2.
Yeah.
And then reveal the score. Like, we don't need to see the scores the same time they see the scores.
Yeah, I thought it would have been better because I was like, oh, okay, of course they'll put Cody last. And so I thought it would have been better if they had put Cody in there and we knew everyone was aiming for 2. And then Kevin, with all his contemplating for his third one, have him be last, because that would have been better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he could knock that last one off the course.
Right.
No, yeah.
Cut to commercial in the middle of that last one. Then flash to the scoreboard. Cody won. Yeah. Flashback to, and it just went right off the edge.
All right, so ultimately, Cody's going to get it. We find out that 2 people have to split the money. And Taryn, it was, again, shades of Danny and Nicole asking each other who was the other vote that was to evict Kevin. Danny and Tyler asking each other if they won the money.
Yeah. Did you take my 5K?
Right. Yeah, I bet the person who won it is probably pissed that somebody else won it too. Like, oh yeah, they totally are.
Right. I bet. In fact, I'd be willing to make a $5,000 wager that the person who won the $5,000 is pretty upset about the person who stole the $5,000 from that person who won $5,000.
Yeah, and Amon, that money, $5,000, going right into Angela's pocket.
No, yes, it is. Yes, it is. All them books that she didn't have to sell. Yeah. Right. I'm excited for her.
Can we just highlight the men from Big Brother 20? You have Swaggy and you have Tyler, and they just praise the women that they're with. I'm sorry. They're just great significant others. And I enjoy watching them with their significant others.
Bessie also.
Woo!
Two guys that really are madly in love with their significant
madly.
Yes.
Madly.
Okay. All right. So we start to see after the HOH, Enzo's pumped up. Memphis is pumped up. And we see Danny. She's really trying to say, oh, you know who was really mad? Christmas. She was so... Cody, you have no idea. She was so mad. She was so mad that she... that she won. Somebody was talking about how she gets really gassed up.
Get gassed up.
that was what they cut to. Of like, you know how Christmas gets, and they
get
cut
gassed up.
Yeah. Amon,
she is so strange. She's so aggro.
Yeah, she's really,
it's like watching her work out is like she's like performing like angry Olympics. It's like insane.
Yeah. That's how you do it. That's how you follow her CrossFit plan. You get gassed up.
Yeah, I think I'll pass. I think I'll just hit the treadmill and call it a day.
Yeah, she has so much rage inside her. That's how she's able to really become an elite athlete.
Right.
I know, it's so insane because I remember like one of the reasons why I drive to her in the beginning of the season was because I just felt like she was sort of like a different person this time around. She was just so excited to get the call in the first place. And now she's gone back to this personality. Yeah. And I'm like, oh God, like she's the last remaining member on my draft. And I'm like waiting to see her go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like personal trainers are supposed to be intense. Right. But like if I was working out with Christmas and she's who she is and she's carrying the workout that way, I would like become Enzo and be like, enough, yo, enough. I don't even leave it.
Here's the problem, I think, with Christmas is that half the time she's going to be like on your case. And then the other half of the time she's going to be singing Baby Shark and going. And honestly, I think that one is more terrifying to me.
It's very scary. You know, I do think that once Danny goes out, I feel like then we will be left with Christmas and Nicole and Asia. I think it's going to be, this is what this season was always destined to be, that we'll be down to the two women who both want to be the only women who work with the men. I think that it will be all the guys, and then it will be Christmas versus Nicole.
Yes, it's literally what it's going to turn into. That, I mean, and that's the theme of the season, where the minority go against each other, the minority group of the house go against each other while the majority chills. So then if Danny goes, then you have Christmas and Nicole being the only women left, and then they're just gonna go after each other, and then the men like Cody and Memphis are just that's them going after each other. That has nothing to do with us continuing not to be targeted.
Yeah, that I definitely could see that, especially if we get a scenario in the triple where David goes out and Danny goes out in the triple eviction, and then we get down to it's just the guys in the house, and then it'll be a battle of, you know, Christmas and Nicole of like who can ride that one out.
Yeah.
Be interesting.
Even if one of them get HOH in the triple, I can very well see, or well, we don't know how it's going to be structured, but even after the triple, if one of them gets HOH, guarantee one of them is going up on their HOH with a pawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about that the Danny Christmas war that's going. Tara, can you give us a little more backstory as to where this all sort of bubbled up from?
It started during Danny's HOH, and really it started prior to that. So, the week that Christmas was HOH, she had already, Tyler had been working on her to turn on Danny, and he had already been planting seeds with Christmas about Danny. This is
seeds,
back when
baby.
Tyler was doing that stuff. She was in a spot where she could go after Danny. She could go after Bailey and Davon. She chose to go after Bailey and Davon. That's when everything blew up about Tyler. And that's when Danny and Nicole tried to reel Christmas in, like, hey, it's just going to be the four of us women left, us three plus Davon. Let's make a women's alliance that they all ratted out. Then Christmas got into an argument with Davon, and nobody thought Christmas was in the right. They were like, oh my God, she's lost her mind. Mm-hmm. And so Danny and Nicole wanted nothing to do with her from that point on. And Danny was like, I'm not going to give her anything. And Nicole was like, she's going to see that you're not giving her things and she's going to turn on us. Danny was like, no, I got this. So then over the course of the next couple of weeks, or really over the course of the next week, Danny was not giving Christmas anything. Christmas was seeing it. Then the big turning point was Danny was HOH. She had to put up Tyler after the disruptor power. And when she did that, she immediately went to Christmas and said, oh my God, if the veto is used, I'm going to have to put up you, Memphis, or Enzo as a pawn. Mm-hmm. And Christmas was like, hold up. Why am I an option when Devon is still here? That really soured her on Danny. And ever since, she has been catching on to all of the seeds that Danny is planting, which again, Danny just continues to be messy. So then Danny wanted to keep Devon around and so on and so forth. And it's just snowballed from there.
Okay. And then what do we know, Danny's angle? Why is she so anti-Christmas?
Danny has sort of caught on to the fact that that Christmas is anti her now. Mm-hmm. She like after that argument with Devon, she was never like on board with Christmas, and Danny has felt like she's been Cody has been kind of stoking these fires as well. That like hey, Christmas is the one you need to worry about more so than Tyler. And so it's kind of culminated into this kind of like Christmas is gunning for Danny. Danny kind of knows that Christmas is gunning for her, and that's where they stand.
Okay. So Alon, this was interesting when Enzo has a chat with Cody and he tells Cody about the two wise guys alliances and says, hey, just so you know, there's another wise guys.
Yeah, I was, because when Memphis started doing this, I was like, I was kind of unsure about their strategy because everybody left in the game is going to be in the committee, meaning they're all going to talk to one another. So did he expect them not to compare notes with each other? I mean, it's still sort of working out mostly in Memphis's favor because it's not like they want to target Memphis. They're thinking, all right, well, then let's just go after Christmas. That way Memphis will be more loyal to us. So Memphis is still kind of getting off scot-free here. But it is, it did like at least put him and Christmas on Enzo's radar. He's like, they can't be trusted. He's out here double dipping. He's scheming. This is just, that's it, yo. They got to go. They got to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taryn, let me just ask one question about this plan of if Enzo did get Cody to put Christmas up on the block, then how would they sell that to Memphis and still be in a final three with Memphis? Is it just like, well, Memphis is like, I don't have another final three, so I guess I'm stuck.
That was the big question, Rob. That was what they were going to have to figure out if it happened. So it's something that Enzo has talked about is the possibility of, well, maybe we set it up so the votes are supposed to come in 3-3. Nicole, Danny, and Kevin would vote to keep David. They would vote to keep David, vote to evict Christmas. And then one of the votes would flip. That would be me. I would also join them. And then I would blame Tyler. I would say, oh, Tyler flipped. Mm-hmm. Tyler voted out Christmas. Memphis, what are we going to do? And so I think that was kind of the initial plan there, but nothing super solid. Yeah, I don't think that would have worked, and I don't think they would have done it, though.
Yeah, that's when Enzo tells us that Memphis and Christmas are full of doo-doo.
Full of doo-doo, yo. That's it. Doo-doo. That's what I'm trying to say.
They need a bidet.
Yeah. Speaking of needing a bidet, Asia, we also got Enzo being walked in the bathroom by Nicole Franzel.
Yes. Can we talk about how even when David is telling the truth, he has no reason to lie about anything? No one believes him.
Yeah.
There's someone in the bathroom. David. Classic David pretending people are in the bathroom.
I mean, he can't catch a break. It's crazy.
He can't.
It's crazy.
Yeah. He's like, I literally told you I was telling the truth. And yeah.
Like y'all, like they could, they like David could vote for you to win Big Brother, mm-hmm. like on yeah. live television, and they still wouldn't believe that he gave him the vote. Like,
right? I'm like, can we improve upon this like bathroom occupied situation? Like, isn't there a way? Like, I feel like that there's a. Could we have like? I feel like that even when you go on a, I know there's no lock, and if they don't want to give them a lock, can't they do something to have like when the light is on that there's like a light bulb outside the bathroom?
You know, that would work, but there's also this other invention. It came about, I don't know, a few centuries ago. You take your hand, mm-hmm. you ball it up into a fist like this, and then yeah. you wrap your knuckles on the door.
What's that called?
Then, like, I think, you know, the person on the inside would hear that, that's and then smart. They would, you know, respond. Say, yeah, I think that would really, really work here.
All right, we'll get right back into talking about tonight's Big Brother, but I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, our friends over at KiwiCo, and I have a KiwiCo expert in the house here. He's turning 7 on Tuesday. It is my son, Dominic. Dominic, how are you?
I'm feeling really good today.
Yes, okay. Why? Did you want to talk about the Zingbot?
Yeah.
Not right now? Okay. All right. Maybe you can zing me later, but let's talk about KiwiCo. And I brought Dominic up here because I know that Dominic actually worked on a KiwiCo project over the weekend. KiwiCo is the subscription box that sends you and your whatever special child is in your life a project that you get to work on in the arts or sciences or engineering that you get to work on together. And then that finished project ends up being a really cool toy. Dominic, what did you recently build from your KiwiCo box?
All the things that I built. Once I built a solar system.
The solar system?
Yeah, I built a solar system.
You don't know anything about the solar system.
I know everything.
Yes, you do? Okay. What, you learned it from KiwiCo?
Yes, I learned solar system from KiwiCo.
Dominic, what was the project you worked on this weekend?
I worked on the... I worked on a marble construction that makes marbles roll down, and then it falls.
And did you have fun?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was fun building.
And you can do it by yourself, or you need a lot of help from grown-ups?
I had a little help from my brother.
Okay, he was helpful?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your child is going to love getting to work on these super cool hands-on science and art projects. Is this fun for you?
It is very, very, very fun.
And it's a break from the iPad. Of course, your kid is going to love getting stuff in the mail sent to them. You'll be surprised at how high quality the materials are, too. These are real engineering, science, and art projects for your children. Do your part to encourage your children to be innovators and creative thinkers. They won't believe what they can build and accomplish with KiwiCo. And when they're finished, watch their confidence be as big as their smile. Do you have a lot of confidence now?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's great.
I don't even know what that means.
Okay, well, you do, but believe me, you do. As a parent, it can be hard to find creative new things to keep your children busy and challenging, especially during those summer days, and especially with some of these distance learning days. KiwiCo, they do the legwork for you so you can spending quality time tackling projects together at home. There's different crates for kids of different ages. There's no commitment, and you can pause or cancel anytime. KiwiCo is redefining play with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. And there's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. Get 30% off. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Your first month plus free shipping on any crate line at KiwiCo.com/RHAP. That's KiwiCo.com/RHAP. That's KiwiCo.com/RHAP. All right, you going to go downstairs and go zing mommy?
No.
Okay, all right.
Maybe.
Maybe, okay. All right.
Amazing.
Let's get back to our recap of Big Brother 22. All right, so we see Cody having a conversation with Nicole Asia, and this is where Nicole is really saying, like, hey, like, I would totally not put Christmas up on the block because you'd be doing Danny's dirty work, and I'm totally she's even more excited if Danny would go up on the block instead of Christmas.
Exactly. She thinks the idea is stupid. And like you said earlier, it's because Christmas is kind of,
yeah,
like in her head, like she wants to be closer to Christmas now that Danny, now that she knows she's against Danny. But like we said, once she's down with just Christmas, she's going to be, want to be the last girl standing with all of the guys. And they're definitely going to convince her of that because she's going to be like, I don't want to be the last girl. She's going to want to say that. And they're like, no, we're going to protect you. It's going to be fine. But yeah, she's way more on board with getting Danny out, which is crazy because like she has it in her head now that Danny is after her, but Danny has knows Nicole's whole game. So why would Nicole want to be putting on this front that she is so against Danny, especially with Danny and Cody being so close? Like, Nicole, you really trust Cody enough that he's not going to say anything to Danny?
Come on, it's going to be so great when the season is over. Well, for a variety of reasons, but for the Danny versus Nicole social media battle after the season, that's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm unblocked by Danny now.
Like, once Danny gets all these receipts, Taryn, she'll be furious, right?
Yeah, I think she will. And I think what she's probably going to do is she's going to be like, man, see, Janelle, aren't we just the victims of these terrible people? Janelle,
annoying.
Yeah, I can't believe that, like, we really should have worked together, Janelle, if only we had been able to, because these people...
Girl, if she tries that, she's got to be dumb. I mean, you were out here talking about dethroning her. Like, get out of here.
Is Danny going to be uninvited to the wedding?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She won't be uninvited to the wedding, but then Nicole will be like, you know, she was invited and then she said these things about me. And then because Danny's not big on social media. She's not going to be dragging Nicole on social media. But I think she will be like very passive aggressive in some way, shape or form.
I think that Nicole would do something like that. I think she would say, Victor, I don't want to have to uninvite Danny, but I don't want her to come. Can you please like get her to not come, but without like, you know, uninvited, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how early do they have to put their $3,000 down? You know, they already paid, do you?
When is this wedding? Isn't it like
in October? Right?
It's like right after the season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the timing. That
was,
of this
no,
is
it was
so
it was
strange.
Brilliant. It was hopefully it's close enough that people don't have a chance to watch the episodes yet. So hopefully they've already RSVP'd. They haven't seen the episodes, and then they still get the gift. It's brilliant. It's diabolical. Yeah,
I didn't even think about it that way.
Yeah, I really do wonder just how much of this is she trying to like. Oh, she knows that this all looks so terrible that she has to pin it all on Danny, and I wonder if maybe that's ultimately where Danny has to be the person who pays the bill for all of her transgressions in the eyes of the casual audience.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that's probably what's going to happen.
Let's get to Kevin and Cody. Asia, we see a nice chat between Kevin and Cody, and it gets hot.
It does. And I think that I'm glad that Kevin, like, he's not trying to hide his annoyance, but the way this conversation was just handled was just like, I understand that you're frustrated, Kevin, but you're having a very hard time communicating it in this context. So Cody was just confused. So all Cody was doing was giving feedback on the conversation while Kevin was like in the conversation. So then it was just this very weird situation. Like, who says in the middle of someone giving them digs, you're throwing digs right now? It's like, it was very one-sided.
Asia, I feel like you're talking about somebody throwing digs right now. I'm not sure why you've started to say that, but I feel like that's where we are at right now.
You're talking about Asia throwing digs right now. So this is kind of like, you know, it's a little strange.
Amon, are we just going tit for tat? Like, what's going on here?
I think we're going tat for tit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a pleasure speaking with you.
Yeah, thanks for connecting.
Thanks for the connect.
You know, the great line from this conversation ends up being the
world doesn't revolve around you.
Yeah, I noticed that, Kevin.
Yeah, the world does not revolve around you, Cody.
He was really, really burning about that comment. Like, he told everybody. Like, he was like, he could not get over it. And I'm like, Cody, I don't understand why this is getting to you so much. If maybe there, maybe this is, sounds like a critique that he's gotten before. Because, I mean, he said it such. He was like, yeah, I feel like people always make these kinds of assumptions about me is because of the way I look. So it seemed like he was trying to say that because he is an attractive person, people automatically assume that he is entitled.
It's not right. It's not right that people get on Cody for being, I mean, that is his cross to bear in this life.
Oh, my God. To be fair, Kevin, at the time Cody was saying this, was saying pretty much those words. Like, because he's so good looking, he thinks the world revolves around him. And he has brought it up to Cody a bunch of times in the past.
It's so funny, just like the stark contrast in conversations between him and Cody, because we had a Kevin and Cody conversation before Kevin went on the block and we won, and now we're back at it again, and these two conversations could not be any more different. And it's just like,
you're right. It's like, because the original conversation was like, oh my God, Cody, you're so good looking.
You're
and
so good looking. You're just so perfect. You're talented. You're beautiful. You look like a model, like all that stuff. And now he is just, which, like, I understand it. Like, Kevin, no, we can say a lot about Kevin. We have talked about his game.
Amon, here's the, let's go back to week one. Kevin and Cody in the storage room.
You're like, I love that you have it.
Like, you're so kind and nice.
Yeah, I need somebody to do some video manipulation and start like cross-cutting these conversations, because it's hilarious. But like, I understand Kevin here. Like, he's tired, y'all. This is number five, and Kevin has not really had a lot of great reads on this house in this game. I get it, but like, at some point you just lose it, because it's like, well, that's how he starts the conversation off. He's like, look, Cody, what can I do to not be on the block? Can you please not nominate me again? Like, I don't know. Like, what else am I supposed to do here? And for Cody, I mean, Cody kind of like laughed in his face a little bit, which I kind of felt like was like kind of disrespectful. Like, clearly the guy is like trying to level with you here. And you're just so comfortable that this conversation is so blasé to you. And I think that Kevin could get that's the energy that he was getting, and that's why he got so upset, because it's like, I'm fighting for my life again, and yet here you are just like,
yeah. And Cody's getting mad, like, what, you're not gonna vote for me now? Come on. Just because I nominated you another time to get you evicted from the house, you're not gonna vote for me?
I love these jury house threats. I love it. I love it, because it makes them all lose their minds.
I hate it because it only further encourages big alliances to stick together. That, like, when you threaten your jury vote, you're forcing them to only take each other to the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's very true. That's very true. In the long run, I mean, it's going to, I mean, they were going to stick together regardless anyway. But yeah, you're right. It, you know, you're not really incentivizing them to, I mean, because what are they supposed to do? And that's what Cody says. He's like, okay, so I'm supposed to take you to the final two. Like, I don't
right.
understand.
Yeah, and that's the thing too that we've talked about, that like, it never works. If mm-hmm. anything, it tends to make the person double down. And
I just like how uncomfortable he got, just how like, because Cody's been so comfortable this whole game, and the two times that he has been rattled is when Kaser accused him of being in a love triangle, and when now when Kevin tells him that the world doesn't revolve around him. Like, that is just high art to me. Like, I love it.
Taryn, I've seen people say that this was edited poorly, this conversation.
It was.
Do you agree with that?
What's the critique in terms of the edit?
It just cut some things out, like, because it made it seem like he just came out of the blue and said the world doesn't revolve around you, but there was like a specific line of it. Cody said something along the lines of, like, I'm trying to see it from like your perspective. Like, you weren't really talking to me, so I don't really know how am I supposed to make this conversation? And then Kevin was like, well, every time I come into a room, all of you guys stop talking. And Cody was like, oh, so every time you walk into a room, all the conversations stop with me. It's all me. It's all my fault. And he's like, no, the world doesn't revolve around you. So they didn't show how he got to that point. They kind of just had him say it. And now it looks like Kevin is being more aggressive than he needed to be.
Asia, is this the type of thing where it's like, you know, Cody needed a good reason to put Kevin up on the block and then was looking for an argument, or do you think this was more on Kevin?
Well, I think Cody was looking for a reason because they were up all night Thursday night trying to figure out how to justify putting up Kevin and David. So Cody was looking for a way to justify putting up Kevin, even though he was going to do it in the first place. So that only just added to the argument. I mean, you heard when he nominated him, he was like, the conversation got out of hand. He was able to lean on that conversation as a way to justify his nominations. So it didn't help by any means, but I think Kevin already didn't want to talk to him. And like you said, Amon, he was agitated by the fact that Cody was laughing it off. And so I think, I mean, Kevin was the reason why it kind of escalated to how it did. But I just don't think it helped the situation, but it, I mean, he was going up regardless.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you never want to it was a 99% chance that Kevin was going to go up on the block. Right. But then that conversation just makes it 100%. So that one little percent.
Cody said 1 billion percent.
Exactly. So now he's just screwed. So, yeah. But like, I mean, I enjoyed it though. So thank you, Kevin. That's like the only thing that's really happened this week. Yeah. So.
Well, I did love Kevin then leaving the conversation with Cody. This was his sign off.
Thanks for connecting.
Which is F you. Like when I've got these people on Twitter, I'm gonna, just going to be like, thanks for connecting.
Yep.
This was great. Okay. All right. We get to our nominations. It was Kevin and it was David. David's going to win the veto, just like when LeBron was down 3-1. Going to do it. Okay.
You know what?
I knew all about that reference.
David does probably honestly secretly think that he has many qualities of LeBron in the Big Brother game. So that's, you know, perception. Yeah.
When he started going for that metaphor, I was like, okay, here we go. I mean, I already don't get sports as it is, but like something tells me that LeBron is like a really, really good player.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like comparing your situation to LeBron's, yeah. It seems like you're and you're reaching. It's inspiration.
Yeah. I mean,
apples and oranges.
David and LeBron are both in some sort of a bubble environment right now.
True.
I have that in common. LeBron was a rookie once.
You have a point, Rob. I'm starting to see it.
They're both currently living in Los Angeles. So
okay, this is making me feel a little better, a little bit.
Now I feel like I'm in David's head. Yeah. Okay.
And when he was throwing the confetti, that's like when LeBron like throws like the dust. Okay. Also, I have a little update on David from one of our great Twitter followers, at littlesister_1 says, David Alexander is a senior sales rep with a whey protein powder company, according to LinkedIn. LinkedIn is so hot right now.
Yeah, that sounds right to me, the protein. He certainly talks about his supplements quite a lot, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, anything else from the episode before we can jump into some questions?
David's going to win the veto.
David's going to win the veto. Yeah. And then put his face on that protein powder after he wins. Okay. All right. Let's take a question from Faison. When did Christmas stop trusting Nicole? Okay. Yeah. Christmas seems to have lumped in Nicole with Danny, Taryn. It seems like that Nicole does not seem to have any animosity towards Christmas.
Yeah. So this happened last week when Danny and Nicole were campaigning for Devon to stay. And Nicole wasn't even really campaigning that hard. But this actually kind of stems from a misunderstanding. So Memphis once told Danny that Tyler was the first to go of the committee. Danny told Cody that Tyler and Nicole were the first two to go for Memphis of the committee. He didn't say Nicole, but Danny decided to throw in a random lie for no reason. Cody told Nicole that Memphis told Danny that Tyler and Nicole were the first two to go from the committee. Nicole went back to Memphis to throw Danny under the bus by trying to make it seem like Danny warned her about this. And Nicole said to Memphis, hey, somebody told me that I was one of the first two to go for you within our group. She thought she was throwing Danny under the bus, but Memphis later retells the conversation to Christmas saying, right after I had a conversation with Davon, who comes up to me? Nicole, of course. And where did she hear this information? Had to have been Davon, because he never said that to Danny. So he thinks it must have been made up by Davon based on like the sort of platitudes he was giving her. And so he connected her to Davon very tightly there. And then he said that to Christmas. And then Christmas was thinking that Nicole was campaigning hard for Day when she really wasn't. But then Nicole ends up voting for Day to stay and lying about it. And you got Tyler in Christmas's ear saying, nah, they're tight, Nicole and Danny. And now all of a sudden you've got Christmas going after Nicole, pretty aggressive.
Okay. All right. Let's take another question. This one is from Ashley. With the impending civil war from the committee, who do you think is the most protected in the group? Who is in control? You know, why don't we talk this through a little bit more when we go to the spoilers, and then we'll talk a little bit more about, how this week's vote is shaping up and then heading into the big night of the triple eviction coming up on Thursday. Elise says, how do you think the house guests will be told about the triple eviction? Do you think they'll be told the night of, after the double, after the second HOH of the night? Y'all are gorgeous tonight and every night. Oh, wow. Thank you. Elise knows how to get her question.
Sweet.
Yes. Okay. How do you think that we'll see this reveal on Thursday night? Will it be from Dr. Will?
I think that Dr. Will is not going to be there.
Well, I don't think he'll be there, but will we get like, hey, everybody, guess what? We got a big night ahead of you.
I don't know. I feel like they're going to want like Julie to drop the bomb on them so they can get like a proper reaction. Cause like we can just hear Julie. We can't like hear, like we're going to see Dr. Will. And if we're seeing Dr. Will, we're not seeing their faces. So, I feel like it'll probably be Julie saying it, but what I'm hoping we get, and again, we don't even really know how it's going to work necessarily, but assuming we get the double, which is, there's an eviction on Thursday as normal. Then we go into a double eviction, HOH, two nominations, one person's evicted. Then we do another HOH and another pair of nominations and another person evicted, all in the space of the 2-hour episode. That would be my ideal scenario. And in that scenario, what I would love is for Julie to say, guess what, guys? It's a double eviction. And then run through the first eviction technically the second eviction of the night as a normal double eviction. And then at, 9 o'clock, when the episode normally would end, be like, or it doesn't even have to be 9 o'clock necessarily, but like after that cycle ends, be like, okay, guys, so what, what are you thinking now? Guess what? You got another one coming. It's a triple eviction. Go again. Head outside. You're having another competition. Another person is leaving tonight. That would really surprise them. And if they just say triple eviction, like at the start of the night, they're going to be like, oh, and it's going to be like the same reaction they would have given at a double eviction. Like fake shock with a little bit of like, oh, triple. Oh, boy.
I'm so afraid that it's going to be the latter where they are. I think they're just so excited that this is a triple eviction. Like they've been advertising the commercials. And I think that like they cannot wait for Julie to say tonight's a triple eviction. We're going to run through two weeks of the house in 2 hours and she's going to have to explain everything. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be one reason to keep hurrying the house guests along because we have so much to get into tonight. So I think I fear that it's going to be at the beginning, but it would be so great if they just thought it was a double.
I will say on the plus side, if they do it the like slightly more boring way, if they know it's a triple ahead of time, then they're going to be freaking out for the entirety of the 2 hours, trying to plan for the next one. And there's going to be a lot more like, oh my God, like running around planning for the following eviction during the first eviction. And there'll probably be more drama.
Yeah.
Taryn, I know that we're all under the assumption that we're going to get the double-double, but have there been any sort of confirmation from any production interviews? Like, I'm a little worried that we might just be like, okay, well, let's assume that that's what they're doing, and then have just sort of like, that's fact, and either it could be potentially the Big Brother Canada triple eviction, or it could be some other new thing that we're not even thinking of.
Pick two people. They're gone.
Yeah. Yeah, possible.
Yeah, I mean, that would be unfortunate, especially with like how things are set up. We would just like straight up just lose. Like David would be an eviction, I think. If it's nominate three people, David is going to be one of them, and David is going to go home just on accident, like 100% in that situation, in my opinion. And that would be unfortunate. So I really hope we get two. I mean, we have 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Like, are we really going to waste time? Just like having one eviction, let's get two of them here.
That's what I'm saying, yo. Just because we say like, oh no, that's a terrible idea, doesn't mean that that's not what it's going to be.
Right. In fact, Rob, it probably means that it's more likely to be that.
Right. Yeah. The only reason I don't think it's the Big Brother Canada way is because you can do that format in an hour.
You could do
and
it in an
they
hour.
Do not yeah. have enough content to last 2 hours if they're doing it that way.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's just interesting that why this week, why they want the 2 hour block. I just wonder if this is like, does Big Brother production go to CBS like, hey, we got a big idea. Can we get an extra hour? Or is there some reason? Is it competing against something? I know that Thursday Night Football is going to be on this week, but that's been the case for all of these Thursdays. So I'm not sure if there's like something that they're trying to necessarily compete with, or this was just that they had this big idea. I don't know.
Love Island is going to be done by that point, right? So maybe it's...
Is it the Love Island finale yet?
The finale is this week, but I don't know if
it's... on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they have an extra hour block to fill mm-hmm. because of the lack of Love Island. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's take another question. This one is from Ryan. David has been on fire in the diary room. Is there a universe where David wins AFP? Yes! Yes!
Absolutely not.
Confetti! Confetti!
I don't think he's out of the running. I would honestly, at this point, considering David's trajectory in the game, I would be surprised if David was not in the top three, personally.
Oh, we're getting closer,
baby. I've seen a lot of people talk about how they despise the committee. And these are like casual fans, because I would check Facebook from time to time. And I see a lot of like pro David support because people are just sort of like sick of everyone else. So I could see him being up there too.
Hey, man, just like LeBron, it's coming back.
And I like all it takes too, like to give a big boost to David would be just winning one HOH, whether it's mm-hmm. the triple, or afterward, he just wins one HOH and takes out a big hitter, which like pretty much everyone left is at this point. And like mm-hmm. goes, has that, like for the first time in the entire season, yeah. the only person in the minority to win an HOH, like that's going to be huge, I think.
Hey, it was the best moment of Big Brother 21 when Nicole won the HOH during the double eviction.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, even though that sounds like that would be a possibility, I just think it's a very low possibility, especially if it is something like iconic that happens during the triple. We still have like 3 more weeks to go, and it's not going to be anything that's in any like casuals recent memory. So I think that, you know, if he happens to stay through the triple and is able to get an HOH in like a week, then I could see there being some momentum for people liking him if he's able to like get out a really big player.
Yeah, and there's going to be a big contingent of people that want Davon to be mm-hmm. AFP, but that of the people in the house, like somebody's going to pick up votes from the people that are like continuing to watch the show, and like I'm not sure who that person is going to be.
I think it's probably Tyler.
Well, I think that like David is going to potentially, like, I think if David goes out in the triple, or if he goes out right after the triple,
right,
then Yeah. Maybe he doesn't crack the top three at that point. He survives even just 1 week longer. If he's in the final five and he is the one, you know, remnant of anti-committee, then I think he gets
fought
his spot
to the end.
Yeah, the longer we get to see him be the underdog, the more likely it is that he will
go up. And he'll be the last image that people have in their heads of anti-committee underdog status. I think that the other contenders will be Davon. I think that Enzo and potentially Tyler as well will all have a decent shot. I'm not super sure about Tyler right now. If he just kind of like quietly leaves in the triple, I don't know. I don't know if we've seen enough of him on the show in a positive light that that he would make it in there this time. Whereas we've gotten a lot of funny Enzo content, and we're definitely going to be seeing Enzo for the long run in this thing. So I feel like Enzo might have a leg up on Tyler. So that would be my top four, though: Enzo, Tyler, David, and Day.
No Preachers. Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, it's very rare that the pre-jurors make it to the top three.
True, but this is an all-star season.
It is.
I mean, and so many people do love Janelle and Kaser.
Look, do not vote. Look, I love Janelle. I love Janelle. Janelle don't need no more money, okay? Janelle don't need it. She's going to be fine. She's good. She left early. Let's just call it what it is. She didn't do too well in the season for a number of reasons. It's over. I really think that we need, and I don't like to do this. I don't like to make public endorsements a lot of the time because people just, you know, people feel like you're trying to sell them something. But honestly, just give it to Davon. Yeah, just give it. Y'all know she's going to give it to us in the jury.
Check his LinkedIn. He's the senior sales manager of Davon, everybody. Look. It's fine.
I mean, she's about to give us so much entertainment in the jury.
I can't wait.
I would say here's the spot where Janelle makes the final, makes the top three. I don't think that no pre-juror has ever won America's Favorite Player. They've only ever come third place, like top three. And it's only happened twice as far as I can remember. And that's out of a lot of options. So I think she makes the top three if Tyler and David both go out in the triple. And that's the last we see of either of them. We lose Kevin this week. And then it's Davon, it's Enzo, and it's maybe Janelle cracks that top three at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she's raised a lot of money for charity also. I wonder if she's like, if I win AFP, I'm donating the money to this.
She's definitely catching votes. She's definitely catching votes. I mean, she is the original queen of BB. Like, she'll be up there somehow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're going to say top five.
All right. Faison says, what would need to happen for Nicole to expose the two wise guys alliances to someone in the house? And should she? Now, hold on a second. Taryn, I believe that Cody did not expose the two wise guys. He said that, hey, that it's Memphis, Christmas, and Enzo have a final three.
Yes. He only
left
exposed.
Out, yeah, his yeah. part.
Yes. Only the Christmas end of the wise guys is exposed, and he also did not tell her the name. So, and just that they have a three thing. So, nothing too big that she could expose at that point.
Okay. All right. Cupcakes. Can Rob and Taryn have a spinoff podcast where Taryn does Enzo's voice the entire show and Rob does Nicole Franzl's voice for the entire show?
That's what I've been trying to say, yo. That's it.
God.
Oh, my God. I already have a podcast and I wouldn't even want to be on one with Enzo.
You got to get her out of here, yo. That's it. She's got to go, yo. We got to get some blood on our hands. That's it.
Freaking A. I'm just trying to be nice and I don't want to even hear about all this blood.
Yo, I'm done. I'm done with this, yo. That's it. I'm done. No more, yo. That's it.
I just want to watch an 80-inch TV somewhere.
Yo, no more, yo. That's it. I'm done with this, yo. None. Done with it.
Cody.
No, yo. I'm done, yo. I'm winning this HOH, yo. After I get my 80-inch screen TV, yo, I'm getting it, and that's it, yo. That's it.
Oh, my God. Okay. They just talk past each other. They don't really
converse.
You are
converse. Full of doo-doo, yo. That's it.
Mindy Bond, are you satisfied, Mindy?
You've made. Okay. All right. Mindy Bond said, Enzo said Christmas in Memphis are full of doo-doo. Is this really in his best interest to convince Cody to target them. What do you think, Amon? Is this the best play? Get Memphis to take out Christmas.
He's going to get a lot of opposition for that. I mean, Memphis is not one to let any of his cards go. He's so pumped about these two wise guys alliance. So I think there's definitely a world in which you can strong arm him into being like, all right, well, let's go. I mean, we've already seen Memphis have to like shift his target because he didn't win the veto. So I think that it's not out of the realm of possibility, but I think that this particular, like losing Christmas will be so much worse for Memphis than not getting rid of David. So I feel like you're really like drawing the line in the sand there. Memphis will not be pleased.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the live feeds. Let's shift gears a little bit. With Taryn, was there something else you wanted to add?
Oh, just that I think this is a terrible move for Enzo. I know he's thirsty for blood, but he should not want either Christmas or Memphis to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seems like that we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but we'll see.
He's getting impatient is what he's getting.
Yeah. Look, they're bored too.
Yes, based on his DR, like I felt this way in the house, but based on his DRs, Enzo is over this season, continuing to go after the same people. Like you can just tell he's like, look, yo, why are we doing this? He's just so ready for the season to really get going. And it's so evident. And so I love he's over it.
I feel that, like, and I'm glad that like someone's saying something, but at the same time, it's like, Enzo, hush, because you are just, you're a part of this. Your HOH was boring as hell, Enzo. Like, you are the last person that should be talking about this. Like, I just, like, if you're really that sick of it, if you're really actually that bored
then
of it,
do something.
Then do something. But you're not going to, so.
Yeah, he's the backseat driver of the season. Okay. All right. So we are going to get into talking about the spoilers. Of course, we'll have our next live episode, our live recap on Wednesday night. Still a lot to come the rest of the week. But if you're leaving us now, we will see you then. In the meantime, let's talk about our spoilers for this weekend.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Okay. Got the spoilers. Here we go. All right, Taryn, it could have been a real exciting weekend if we would have seen Christmas go up on the block.
It would have been, yes. We needed a Kevin win or a David win. We did not get one. That Cody has won power veto. He will be keeping the nominations the same.
Oh, because the world revolves around Cody, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Kevin will be going home this week as of right now. My favorite bit though from the veto competition, especially in light of the diary room session that David had at the end of this episode, is that this was OTEV, but you could go for prizes,
yeah,
publicly. And
can you remind people what David said at the end of the episode?
I'm gonna win this veto,
and I'm gonna win. I'm gonna shine it.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to take myself off the block. I'm going to make this happen in the first round of OTEV. As somebody on the block, he publicly went and took $10,000 from all of the other complainers who wanted that money, who thought, I'm safe. I'm going to get those 10 G's. And he went up and said, no, I'm on the block. And I'm safe, and I'm going to take this from you. And it's maybe my favorite thing that David has done.
AFP, here it comes. Going to rack up some more cash. Did exactly. Kevin come close?
No, I don't believe so. I think that it came down to Enzo and Cody in the final two.
And this was the only prize, $10,000?
I don't know.
Like, not to go back to the Dr. Will thing, but they really made it sound like, Amon, that, oh, this is going to be a week with prizes. And, like, okay, there was $10,000 in one competition.
That Dr. Will was going to be like on the balcony, like auctioning off stuff. And just, right. Like, I thought there was going to be like some real, like, and don't get me wrong. I mean, we're getting this thing with David and like it pissing off like the entire committee is just hilarious to me. So I guess we are getting like that, but it did seem like it's, if you were going to get so much more, like, you know, go for the veto, go for the prize, go for the HOH, go for the prize. And it's sort of,
Yeah, I don't know. Do we know, was Dr. Will involved with this competition at all?
Have you heard, Taryn?
I haven't heard anyone
talk about Dr. Will's involvement.
Yeah, I haven't heard them say anything. In fact, I think I heard them say like where was Dr. Will? Like, I'm pretty sure, I don't think he was there.
What are they doing here? What is going on? Who is like, who at CBS was in charge of this? Like, did you lose Dr. Will? Like, did somebody like not, you know, follow through with an email? Did we drop a call? Like, I don't understand what's going on. And then Dr. Will, he just posted something on his Instagram. I think it's a robe or something with Dr. Will embroidered on it. And then he posted like a little shh emoji. So like, what, like, I don't understand. Like, what are you building up? We already saw you on the show. So What are we supposed to be being quiet about? Is that supposed to be an HOH role? Were you going to come into the house? Like, and if that's the case, when? Because Thursday is the end of the twist. So I'm...
You know, I'm not even that surprised that this twist has gone this way, because that's so typical Big Brother for us to like. The relief I felt on Thursday when I saw that it was an actual Big Brother legend, I was like, okay, great that they did something that they said. Like, it was, there was no twist around it. It was actual Big Brother legend. Now it's like, just, we're not getting him. It's like the recording. And that's it. Like, maybe he is Oteb's voice and no one caught on to that, or they just, it wasn't a big deal to where they didn't say anything about it afterwards. But where is he?
I see. You know, in the movie Zombieland, they talk about the double tap. The same concept applies to skepticism toward Big Brother, is that you got to be skeptical at first. Like, is it really going to be a legend? Then when it is, you got to have that double tap of skepticism. Okay, but what are you really going to do with this? Right. That's the proper mentality, I think. Apparently the feeds have been down for a little while since this podcast has been running.
The same thing every week of that. It's on Sunday night. The wall yeller comes after the Sunday night episode.
They're on a schedule.
Yeah, the wall yeller is there every day. Not like Dr. Yeah. Will.
Well, I'm starting to buy into the conspiracy theories that it is production. Like, I think it's security. I think security are the wall yellers.
Yeah.
So I'm convinced the wall yeller has a tent outside of the Big Brother backyard, and they're just ready to go.
Taryn, you know the wall yeller is like, there's a triple eviction on Thursday.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Like, what more is there to reveal?
Oh, that would suck if somebody did that. Like, come on, y'all. Like, this is the first like bit of like angst that we're going to be able to see them feel. If y'all ruin that, like, come on, don't do that. Don't do that. I feel like you just gave somebody a really bad idea, Rob.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to incept the... there should be a PA in a lawn chair there 24/7.
I mean, it's a lengthy stretch of, area.
It's just the dedication of it all, because isn't like the LA River like also a barrier between like...
Yeah, but when you talk about the LA River, it sounds like something that you would like navigate like across like in the Oregon Trail. And it's just like a giant sewer pipe. It's really, it's like nothing.
Wait, so it's not a river?
No. It's like drainage. It's not like a river.
Okay.
Yeah, like you could walk in the water.
It's like a puddle. Okay.
Wow. I am thoroughly less impressed with all the wall yellers now. I thought people were traversing across the moat.
No, it should be a moat. Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else from the weekend of note, Taryn?
I'm just picturing someone trying to ford through a river with their megaphone. Like,
I thought it was message. so much more at stake here.
The British really are coming. The Nicoles are coming.
Okay, I clearly have not been to LA enough.
nothing too important. No, that basically Kevin is going to be going home, heading into this triple eviction. Right now we have almost everyone gunning for Danny. That if anyone but Danny or Nicole win this next HOH, we will likely see Danny leave, unless she, of course, wins the veto. Nicole would go after Memphis with, it would be Memphis and David. And then if one of them came off the block, she might put up Tyler. And then everyone else would just put up Danny and David, or Danny and Nicole, yeah. And Danny would go home. Then in the second part, who knows where we go from there. But definitely looking very risky for Danny here.
Yeah. So would you say, is it almost 100% Danny is going home on Thursday?
It would be very difficult for her to survive Thursday
night. She's at least going up on the block once, and she'd have to at least win the veto.
We've been talking a little bit. Like, I know that you were kind of apprehensive, Taryn, about this triple and, you know, whether or not we were going to be able to really appreciate, you know, the back and forth and the fallout. But I mean, if the episode is 2 hours long, well, then maybe there is a world in which we do get to watch all of this, like, you know, fallout happen in real time, and any bits and pieces that we do miss, they'll rehash it in Sunday's episode or whatever. So I'm actually really looking forward to this, because if they have like because usually with double evictions, the thing is like, there's no time. You put your nominations up. They don't have any time to like really change anybody's minds, but like a whole hour, like a whole 2 hours, like I feel like there's a world in which we might see a lot of like wheeling and dealing and people maybe snitching on one another. And so maybe the committee is a lot more screwed than we give it credit for.
I think it definitely has potential to be good television for those 2 hours. The things that I was looking forward to, though, is like Danny goes on the block and slowly starts to realize, oh my god, Cody doesn't have my back. In the middle of a triple, Cody's gonna be like, Tyler, man, I can't believe he's doing this. I've definitely got you. Oh, whoops, she's gone home. Oh, man. And then it's over. Whereas, like, I want to see Danny, like, talking Cody's ear off every night. Like, you're keeping me? Like, where are our votes? And him eventually, like, kind of giving away the fact that he's not really looking out for her and he's choosing Nicole over her. And then she starts spilling all of their secrets all over the house, and Cody has to do damage control. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's this kind of stuff that has been building for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll just be seeing her do that in jury.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And then she would be all like, maybe she has too much to drink one night. Like, oh, Cody, you just think the whole world revolves around you.
Yes.
Here, this is Scott has a picture of LA River. Amon, the beautiful scenic.
Where is LA the river?
That's not even where the house is. That's a little bit like that's not. It's even less impressive.
It's even less. Where the house is.
That little skip to my loo, my darling little. Splash of water? Are you kidding me?
Yes, that's the river they have been fording through every time they yell at the wall, Amon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you work up a good little sprint, you could hop over that.
I'm gonna buy a ticket to LA right now and do some wall yelling, because I thought this was a feat. I thought this was a feat. Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's see. We have a couple more questions. This is from Lauren. From David's final DR on the episode, talking about wearing the veto in the shower. Does it make it better that he won the 10K? Yes. That makes it better.
So good.
We talked about that earlier. Okay.
This is where like I feel like this has the potential to be a great moment for David in the episode. It just depends on how they portray it, because like they could portray it in the way that like that I'm seeing it, which is like this is the most hilarious like shove it in their face thing ever. Or they could go in the direction of like, I can't believe he did this, and I'm really hoping they go in the fun direction, because I feel like that's the character of David on the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. This is from day for AFP. How about that? This is what do you think happens to the house if Cody goes in the triple? This episode and the middle season has shown how he is the glue keeping all the pieces together. Well, first off, Taryn, let me ask the question. I know the world revolves around Cody, but is it even possible that he could go in the triple?
It is extremely unlikely. Right. I don't want to say it's impossible, but as of right now, I don't see any realistic scenarios where it happens. So I would say very unlikely. And even quite honestly, even if it did, we're at the final six. What is there to like break up at this point? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Who's going to put him up? Who would?
Right. And then once he's up, who's voting him out? No one. Cause you have so many people. I just want to protect Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would need to be on the block next to Enzo in order to go home. And nobody would do that.
Kevin's already gone at that point. Yeah.
So could we talk real quick through power rankings of who could go home in the triple? So number one is Danny. The number Danny two is probably David.
Mm-hmm. David. Yeah, I would say David number two.
And who's number three? Christmas?
I would say Christmas. Memphis.
Ooh. Memphis over Christmas?
Memphis and Christmas are definitely so Memphis is more likely to go in the first round of the triple. But Christmas is a little bit more likely to go in the second round of the triple. I guess here's the thing. Cody will go after Christmas, but Nicole won't. Enzo won't. I don't think Tyler won't. Memphis won't. So it's really, there's only one person going after Christmas, and that's in the second part of the triple. And that's assuming things stay the same. Whereas Memphis is going, has one person going after him in the first part of the triple. And so that's a little more locked in. So I would say Memphis over Christmas, but not by a huge margin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Tyler would be there as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you another question as we're getting into like the fan fiction-y type stuff. Okay. Would Danny be an outright target, sit on the block, or would she be a backdoor target in either? Let's start with the first hour.
An outright target in my, I think okay. all of them would put her right up.
So here's the juicy scenario that I think, okay, Danny goes up on the block from an unexpected person in the first thing. She realizes, oh my God, I've been betrayed, wins the veto. Mm-hmm. Now somehow maybe she wins the second part of the HOH. Somehow she comes out of this night in unscathed.
That would be beautiful.
I wouldn't say it's unscathed because I think like best case scenario for Danny is, I mean, I guess maybe Memphis puts her up and she finally realizes she doesn't have Memphis.
Yeah.
And then she wins the veto and then she puts up like Memphis and Christmas or Memphis
who
and
does,
Tyler.
Who replaces Danny on the block if she wins the veto?
For Memphis?
Yeah.
So it would be Danny and David, and Memphis would replace her with probably Nicole.
Do they just vote Nicole out because now Danny knows that like Danny it's exposed David. Now? It's right. Like, okay, let's get rid of Nicole because we can't keep the both of them around.
Right. But so votes would be, there'll be eight players. You need three votes to stay. Danny and Cody would vote to keep Nicole. Tyler, Christmas would vote to evict Nicole, and who is the other vote here?
Enzo.
I don't know what Enzo.
Just because once upon a time Danny used to be if not the queen of Big Brother, at least the veto queen.
True.
It's true.
Nicole could go home there in that spot. I feel like Enzo is going to take his cue from Cody though. And I feel like Enzo's going to vote out David. I feel like that's what he might do. So I do think he would keep Nicole. I think Nicole probably stays. Then Danny's like, oh, Nicole and Cody, my buddies, keeping me alive. But then even if she wins HOH, takes out Memphis, she's just the main target for everyone again. So,
yeah. And can't play. Yeah.
Yeah, but really,
damn, that power would have came in. Right.
What you hope for is for like somebody to survive the hit where it's like, yeah. Oh, they came for me and I survived it. I'm wounded, but I'm still here. That would be exciting.
Yeah, I like Cody wins part two of the triple. He nominates Christmas and David.
Yeah.
Like Christmas wins the veto. He puts up Tyler or Memphis, probably Tyler. Probably Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
And then but then Memphis would want to vote out Christmas and Memphis might try to vote out David. That's two votes. Enzo and Nicole vote out Tyler. Cody breaks the tie. Tyler goes, so he doesn't survive. I'm trying to figure out a scenario where Cody takes the shot at Tyler and Tyler survives, but I'm not sure it happens because Tyler's only ever going to be the backup target.
It's just going to be very interesting that you won't have Kevin in the mix. And so you have David to be an automatic pawn, but then you need somebody else. And then if you get rid of David in the first one, then you need two pawns in that second hour. So we'll see what ultimately ends up happening. One last hypothetical. What does Nicole end up doing? Will Nicole put Danny up on the block outright?
No.
She would be way too afraid.
If it's the first round, Nicole wins. She puts up Memphis and David with Memphis probably as the target. You'd have potentially Tyler, Cody, and Danny to vote Memphis out. You'd probably get Enzo involved as well if he's willing to do that. I don't know what Enzo is willing to do again, but you might be able to get Memphis out there. If one of them comes down, she puts up Tyler, and Tyler probably goes out. If she wins the second part and Danny is gone, she just does the same thing. If she wins the second part and because she says Danny's just going to be gone. I mean, maybe Danny wins. She goes after Christmas. Yeah, she just does the same thing again. So yeah, she's always going to just put up Memphis and David. As of right now, maybe she could switch to Tyler and David at some point. But as of right now, it's Memphis and David.
Look, I think we have some tantalizing outcomes potentially for Thursday.
Yeah, I'm kind of like mad that we sat here and did all that because now, like,
well, what's the worst case scenario? I know we're disappointed that we would have liked to have seen this really, really unfold in a way where it could have been even more explosive. But what's our our worst case scenario? With David goes out and then Danny goes out.
Yeah,
that's probably the most likely. Yeah,
there's still a lot of cracks in this house.
Hmm. You're right. I mean, and like I said, like with 2 hours up to do all of this, for people to get antsy, for people to potentially throw a name out there and be like, oh, like, why do I have to be the one? Why am I the one that's going on the block? Like, you said this about that person the other day. Yeah. So like
and Danny's game is pretty much over anyway. I mean, she doesn't have we don't get to see really a week of her really flapping in the breeze. But I mean, there are a bunch of people that are going to start to realize, oh, I'm in dire straits now, especially once sort of like what's that next HOH going to do after that?
Well, yeah, I mean, at that point, it's the final six and the committee is there, maybe committee plus David if he's still around. Mm-hmm. And I feel like at that point, it's like, well, lines are drawn. It's just down to comps. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be that crazy. I feel like nobody's going to be as betrayed at the final six, at the final five, as they would have been like at the final eight or the final seven.
Yeah, but Nicole will definitely be crying.
Yeah,
she will. She will. Yeah. We will not leave that
episode. She'll be crying. Christmas will be angry. You know, right. There'll be a lot of fighting.
Yeah, I mean, well, it'll be the committee plus Enzo and David. So it could be a situation where if somebody that's in the committee turns and doesn't put up Enzo and David, someone who's loyal, like Christmas, then you could see some people, or like you could see her being offended in that situation. But yeah, they're just going to play it out.
At this point, they have all given up the pretense of, Enzo's not part of us. Nobody's even pretending that Enzo is not a part of the committee anymore.
Yeah.
They don't recognize that. They don't even know that he knows about the committee, but everybody knows, everybody within the committee knows that Enzo is not going to go home before other members of the committee. That
right.
He's an honorary member, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and talk about what else is going on here on robhasawebsite.com. We spoke to the general, a.k.a. Rob from Survivor Marquesas. We talked to the general about what he's doing up on the latest, talking with T-Bird up on our Survivor podcast feed. Check that out. And then episode number 101 of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. I'm a Renap celebrity. get me out of here. We had a great panel yesterday with Jenny Autumn, Tommy Pizzullo, Navi, and Chappelle. They played a game that made no sense, and classic Renap on episode number 101 of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. Then the Great British Bake Off continues on. Does anybody watch the Great British Bake Off?
I haven't yet, but I'm gonna watch it.
Okay. Emily Fox, Haley Strong, and Kurt Clark talked about, I believe it's on Netflix, the Great British Bake Off going on. And of course, over on Love Island, oh boy, we are blessed because Mike and Angela Bloom, some call them Mangela, Mike says they prefer to go by Angike. I don't think that works. They're on with Kirsten and Brian Scally, who was on the live feed update today. Check them out, talking about Love Island over on our Love Island wrap up. And then look, Adam Klein joins Y Blank Lost to talk about where did Davon go wrong. Adam Klein breaks it down with David Bloomberg and his Millennials versus Gen X castmate Jessica Lewis. Check that out in our Big Brother podcast feed. And Allie Lasher, it was part of the RHAP B&B. Always fun when Allie stops by the B&B with Mike and Liana tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. Maybe Taryn will tell us why the feeds were down.
I'll guess, at the very least.
Yeah. We'll have plenty to do with Taryn coming to you tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern. And then we're going to have on the slop this week, Chappelle will join me on Monday afternoon. Scott Yeager of the Challenge Mania podcast will join us to talk about everything that's going on. If you have any sloppy stories for us to talk about, send them to me on Twitter, hashtag slop, RHAP. We love live feed highlights and other stuff going on from social media with the Big Brother cast. Should be a lot of fun once again on Monday. Then on Tuesday, September 29th, Dominic's birthday, it is going to be the LFC Roundtable back.
Yes, at a special earlier time, 7:30 p.m. Eastern.
Yes, because of the big debate happening between Taryn and Brent. So it's going to be on earlier. Or what time is it? 7 Eastern?
7:30 p.m. Eastern.
7:30 p.m. Eastern.
What's the big debate?
The presidential debate is taking place on Tuesday night. LFC Roundtable is going to be earlier that night on Tuesday coming up. Okay. And then we have on the Wednesday night, looks like we're going to have Melissa Denny, Matt Ligori, and Mari with us on Wednesday night, last night of September, to talk about everything that's going on and the night before the big triple eviction. Of course, all this podcasting made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Head on over to robhaswebsite.com/patron to find out about everything that we have going on in our patron community on Facebook and Discord. And on Thursday night, I will be live before the live show, before the triple eviction. Get in there. That's October 1st. That's a great day to jump in on becoming a patron on the first day of the month. Or if you can't wait until then, check out the annual membership where you can pay for 11 months and get the 12th month free at robhasawebsite.com/patron. And of course, follow us on social media at Rob Has a Podcast on Twitter, RHAP Grams on social media. And we've been also reminding our listeners, head on over to vote.gov. Did you know over 45 million people who could have voted in the last election didn't? They decided to stay home? That would be like if they had an America's HOH and then you didn't even cast a vote and then complained about what happened. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Head on over to vote.gov. It's a nonpartisan website. Every adult here has a duty to go ahead, pick who you like. Go to vote.gov. Make sure you're registered. Have a voting plan. It's going to sneak up on you. Everybody says, oh, yeah, I'll vote. And then make sure that you're registered and you know what you're doing come November 3rd. Okay? All right. Great panel once again. Asia, always fun to connect with you on the podcast.
It's always fun connecting, Rob.
Yes, always fun to connect.
Yeah.
Asia, other than being sad about the Cowboys, what else is going on?
Right. Yeah, the main thing I have going on is that I just got a brand new puppy. She's 2 months old. If you're watching the video version of this, I will show her.
Oh!
She has been a sweetheart this whole podcast. She's been napping. But this is Pepper. Say hi, Pepper.
She's a Malshi Poo.
Yes. Aww. She's a Malshi Poo, so she's a Maltese, Shih Tzu, and Poodle. And my roommate has a poodle, and he's much larger than her. He's a standard poodle, so they've been getting along. They're the best of friends. And yes, so this has been my world for the past few weeks and moving forward for years to come.
Okay.
So yeah, that's
it. Congratulations, Asia.
Thank you.
Okay. Of course, follow Asia Like Asia on Twitter. And Instagram?
Yes, on Twitter. Okay. Yeah, you can do Instagram too. It's Asia Like the Continent on Instagram. I couldn't do Like the Continent on Twitter. It was too long.
Too many characters. Okay.
Yeah.
Asia, great to have you back with us. Of course, Aman, what's going on with you?
Matt and I just finished recording all of
SpongeBob
season six.
Matt?
Yeah, SpongeBob Matt. We've just finished recording all of season six for Glee. So we are officially done with the Glee Cap portion of at the choir room, but we will be doing a bunch of like brand stills and all sorts of like ancillary stuff. So check that out. I also, Catherine Dunn asked me to come on her show to talk about all the stuff regarding microaggressions and all of that stuff for BB22. So I'm not sure. She said this week. I don't know. I don't have a specific day, but it'll be out this week, I think. So there's that. And that's it for me.
Wow, Aman, you are hitting up all of the Big Brother podcasts.
I've been everywhere. I feel like I don't even know.
Okay. All right. Follow Aman Adwin on social media.
Slide into his DMs.
Okay. All right. And Taryn, of course, here we are heading into the week of the triple eviction. Are you ready?
I'm very ready. Very ready to do a lengthy analysis on all of the possible scenarios on the round table. So wait for that. I will also be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong on Thursday to talk about the stock watch and then also to watch
some
the
people
episode
are going to be ruined in the stock watch by the triple eviction.
Very ruined by the stock watch. Yes. But if you're interested in following me there on Twitch, I will be live during the triple to react live to it and sort of like talk through what's going on if you want to hang out with me and watch it together. So find me there. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn.
Okay. All right. There you go. Thanks everybody for checking us out here tonight. We'll be back on Wednesday with another recap. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.